Now, I want to ask you a question. When you, you know, when you look forward to Christmas every year, one of the most important things you start thinking about is, you know, Christmas, right? Gifts, writing cards, and I did a study on this, and it just seems that people are writing less cards because they are putting everything on the internet. I'm still old-fashioned. I still write cards, and there was a period in this country where instead of sending Christmas cards, they start sending pictures, right? People put their children's pictures, and it's in a nice way you update each other where you are, where your kids are. Some people send their pets pictures and say Merry Christmas and so on. And these are all good. But the traditional Christmas cards always had the picture of Mary, Joseph, Jesus, shepherds, magi, who else? The animals in the stable, and then there was a star. So those are very important for the story of Christmas. You almost like, you know, you want that pageant style readings within the church because it sets the tone right for Christmas. But let me ask you this. What if you did not have any of this? Would you still be able to celebrate Christmas? Because Christmas has to do with the coming of Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's the only reason for the season. But because we do live in a tolerant culture, we've put a lot of other stuff. I don't know how it's related to the season, but I'm a person, you know, I used to be annoyed about these things, but it just doesn't annoy me anymore. You know, like if people don't know Jesus, why should they celebrate it? You know, you want to create something to celebrate it, whether you believe in it or not, just so that you fit in, right? Because everybody is buying gifts, and the whole exchange of gifts have come from Magi, you know, have come from the East, who have brought gifts. But we've forgotten all this, and we've replaced them with many other stuff. And Christmas today has become a time where many families will come together, take a break, and just enjoy one another, and where the husband is just praying for the in-laws to just get out. And, I mean, all these things go behind the scenes, but no one confesses it. And the wife says, you know, behave yourself. It's only for a few days. And then the guy bites his tongue and then vice versa. And now all these things go on. It makes it part of the holidays, right? Now, these are all good. And my sermon is not on these. My sermon is on the Gospel of John chapter 1. Because as you read the Gospel of John chapter 1, you see that there's no Mary, there's no Joseph, there's no baby Jesus. There's no animals, there's no stable, there's no Bethlehem. There's nothing. Yet, the message of Christmas is right there. Now, we do have four Gospels. The three of them are called synoptic Gospels. You know, you see them optically. You know, Mark, Luke, and Matthew, they write very similar stuff. Imagine a car accident that happens and you've got three witnesses. So three of them report about the accident, but in three different ways. So if somebody is reporting it to his own people, he will speak their language and report it as such. So Matthew writes it to the Jews. He's a Jewish convert. Nobody liked him before. Still nobody loved him after he got converted, except that he belonged to Christ. So he's writing to the Jewish nation. It's very Jewish in nature. And then you read about Mark. I love Mark. If you ever want to read any gospel, just read Mark. Or if you've got a friend who's interested in reading the gospels, read the gospel of Mark. Mark is crazy. I love him. He uses street language. And he just jumps from one topic to the other. You know, like, immediately this happened, immediately that happened, immediately that happened, because he's really not interested in the Christmas story. He's not interested in the miracles. Not that he doesn't write about them. He writes about them. But what he's really interested in is Jesus died on the cross. Once he reaches to the death of Jesus, he puts the brakes on. And he starts taking his time and drilling the message of death and resurrection right there, and communicates to the people, especially the Gentiles, who are really confused what this resurrection is all about. Because without Jesus' death and resurrection, there is no life eternal. And then, of course, you've got Luke, who's a universalist. He is just making everybody happy. So he traces Mary's genealogy, Jesus' genealogy, all the way to Mary and all the way to Abraham. So these are all good stuff for us to have, but when you take John's gospel, there's no baby Jesus. And this is what he writes. He goes right into the heart of the Christmas message, and he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. He was in him was life, and that life was the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man who was called John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who is full of grace and truth." This is what the Gospel of John tells us about Christmas. Now, the reason I believe John wrote this message or this gospel or his gospel, and it's very theological in nature, because when Jesus was born, there were always rumors that he was not the real deal. Remember how, you know, the Jews were waiting for the Messiah? Sometimes something happens really in your life, but you're still waiting for something else to happen, because the grass is always greener the other side, so you're waiting. Meanwhile, life is passing you by. And a lot of people just did not believe that Jesus, a lot of Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They did not believe that Jesus was God. Some believed that Jesus was a good prophet. Some believed that he was a good man. He was far beyond good man. He was far beyond a prophet. He was far beyond a king. He was God himself. Now, it's interesting, even today, when you talk to a lot of Christians, they get confused. They say, "How can Jesus be God?" Well, I say, "He is." "Well, how can you prove it?" I say, "Look, if I prove it to you, you're not going to believe it." Why? Because I say, unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, my words are in vain. See, we need to understand that a lot of people do not believe because God is not revealing it to them. Unless it is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, conviction will never come. Christianity will become a tradition, and you're just going to live a religion. What happens when the Holy Spirit convicts us? We see Jesus as God incarnate, as the prophet said, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Without God's intervention, it is impossible for me and you to convince somebody that Jesus is God. He came to save sinners. Because people say, "Well, I'm not that bad." Well, by just saying that, that may put you in the category of not being good. Because no one is good amongst us except God alone. Remember that wonderful guy, the young ruler, who came to Jesus, and he says, "Look, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The guy was very religious. He's done everything. He's memorized his Bible inside out. But what he lacked was humility, number one. And what he lacked also was he loved his money more than he loved God. Money is a tool. We could not give it up. And then Jesus said, you know, he loved him. Unfortunately, this man was not ready to give it up in order to have Jesus. A lot of the times we have a lot of hindrances in our lives that just hinders us from worshiping Jesus. You know, at this stage in my life, there's one thing I cannot take anymore. That's where you cross the, and even family or you or anybody. If you say anything bad about my Lord, that's where I draw the line. I'm nice, but this is where you cannot cross the line. And I do that because I'm so passionate in my belief. Not that it is my belief, it is being planted to me, it's a gift given to me by God, as it's been given to you. So get passionate about your faith, because here as I read what God has done for me, it's amazing. That's the least I could do for him. So when it comes to Jesus being God, see, Jesus is the name that was given to him at birth, but Jesus pre-existed his birth. Did you know that? Remember the cosmos when God created heavens? I mean, have you ever seen the cosmos? Can you understand it, how it works? The whole universe? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand a thing of this. I mean, there are scientists who just know everything. There are billions of stars. We don't even know where they are. I mean, oh, it was the Big Bang, they say. There was a Big Bang. I said, yeah, there was a Big Bang. God said, bing, bang, and it happened, you know? What, you know, and then how can you explain even a human being formed in his mother's womb? That's a great miracle. You know, I don't understand it. You know, think about the heart. I mean, it's not artificial intelligence, for goodness sake. How we are formed together in our mother's womb, and then we're delivered to this world, and you throw emotions at this, you know? And then we're all up and down and messed up, and then we're trying to find life. And when we find Jesus, we say, thank you. Still life does not make sense, but now it makes sense with you. I'm not going to have all the problems solved, but one thing I know who my Redeemer is, therefore I can face tomorrow. So here God creates the heavens and the earth. And then he creates the, you know, the planets, Mars, you know, and Saturn, and Neptune, you know, Earth. He creates Earth eventually, you know. But Jesus was in all this. He did not have the name Jesus. He was the Word of God. Do you remember the book of Genesis where God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness? Who's us? The Trinity, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father. Now, somebody said, well, it's very confusing. It just seems there are three different people. No, there aren't. And I learned this from a Moroccan monk. There are monks in Morocco, believe it or not. And he was visiting London, and he had a long beard. And I said to him, how can you explain the Trinity? He says, I cannot even come close to explain the Trinity because it's mystery, he said. But the best way I could explain Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he said, and it was a sunny day in London, which is just, it was a miracle. Because usually it's cloudy. Oh, you get more sun nowadays, I guess. So I said, you know, he says, look at the sun. I said, I put my glasses on. He says, no, take your glasses out and just says, look at the sun. And I went, and then I said, I can't, I'm going to lose my eyes. He said, it's hot, isn't it? He says, yes. He says, it burns your eyes. I said, yes. He said, my friend, he said, God created that sun. But he says, if you cannot look at the sun, how can you look at the Father? Which scripture says, no one has seen God and ever lived. And he says, if God, the Creator, has created the sun so powerful, we cannot even look at the Creator. But he says, look at the sun and always think of him as God the Father. He says, this is just a comparison, but it's just for you to understand. And he says, what else comes from the sun? And I looked around, I said, well, light. He says, very good. And I felt good about myself. He says, Jesus is the light of the world. And I said, where are you going with this? He says, can you separate the sun from the light? Or the light from the sun? I said, no. Ah, he said, Jesus is the same substance of God. And God is of the same substance as Jesus. And he says, what else comes from the Son? And I said, well, I don't know. He says, warmth? Good. He says, you're a clever boy. I knew there was something else that's coming. I said, yes. And he says, the Holy Spirit is God's presence in us, that we feel him. We feel his presence. He says, but you cannot separate warmth from light and light from sun. He says, go and figure this out. Because if you understand this story, then you will have a little understanding of the Trinity. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God. And what is amazing, he said, that God came to earth. Because he, after creating all these things, he created the, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And then he put light to the world. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't spend eternity. He doesn't spend the whole Bible telling us about how he created the light. It was at his word. Let it be. And it was. Let it be. And it was. Do you think your problems are big or small? For God, it's just a word. It makes it disappear. But why is he not making it disappear? I don't know. But he is edifying you and me in order to become like his son Jesus. Do you understand the bigger picture? If God gives us exactly what we wanted all the time, we will destroy ourselves. Look what's happening to the world. Right? Look what's happening to the world. Because people think they know better. But there will always be greed. There's always going to be jealousy. There's always going to be things that are replacing God in their lives. And God is edifying and sanctifying the Christian in order for them to be prepared for eternity. So do not waste the storms that God brings into your life. Do not pray for a single one. But learn what God wants you to do through this journey. And be like his son. So after he creates everything, he creates the earth. It's the most beautiful place in the universe, I believe. I mean, look at this. Out of nothing, you've got the color perfect world. There's life in it. And you know what? You're somewhere here. And God chose out of all the planets to come right into this earth. To save you and me. So that one day, when the expiry date hits, you know, we all have expiry, that life will never end as we know it today. But for the Christian, it will continue with Christ. That's why he came. Now, one of the things that Jesus claimed in the Gospel of John and other Gospels, he says, I am God. But people did not believe him. That's why they crucified him. The priests were so mad at him. How can you claim to be God? He used the same words that God used in the Old Testament. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. I am, recalls God's revelation of his name. When Moses said, who are you? He says, I am who I am. Do you see Jesus? Sometimes in our culture, unfortunately, we bring Jesus so much into our level that we do forget that he is God of the universe. And some people who belong to Eastern traditions who don't have any relationship with God because they cannot even, you know, understand him because he's so distant, they have an issue with those who just treat Jesus as their body. Hey, he's my body. He's not your body. He's your God. He's your Savior. And you should approach him with fear and trembling, but in a healthy way. But always know that he loves you more than you love yourself. And he will always be there for you. He is your shepherd. So we need to approach him with utter respect. The Jews had issues with him, with Jesus. How can you dare? How can you say that you are, I am? How can you use those words? But Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. They could not take it. Crucify him! Blaspheme! Crucify him! He did 7 miracles, you know, in the Gospel of John. He changed the water into wine. He healed the man's son. He healed a lame man, multiplying bread and fish, walking on water, healing a blind man, and raising Lazarus from the dead. Who else did these things in the history of humanity? And he had power over death. This is the Jesus of Christmas. Let's never forget about who Jesus is. And that's why John wants to make it very plain to the people who are arguing about the divinity of Jesus, that Jesus is God, whether you like it or not. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses today, you know, bless their hearts, they avoid my door. I see them on Saturdays. I'm marked. I think they've got a mark on my door, invisible mark. Don't go to this guy's house. I used to invite them in. And we used to chat, and my kids used to say, here we go again. And I used to just not challenge them, but bring scriptures to them. They say, well, we have the Bible. I say, no, you don't. No, you don't have the Bible. Your Bible is your own translation by the Watchtower. You have changed so many things. But we could use your Bible. Thank you. Let's use my Bible. And then I used to bring points where they just said, well, you are misunderstanding what the scriptures is saying. I said, me misunderstanding it. You just want me to be convicted and convinced that Jesus is not God. And I'm not going to do this. Because the moment I do this, I have no salvation. Do you understand the impact? Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult. It's a cult. And must be rejected. Do we love them? Of course we love Jehovah's Witnesses. But they don't believe what we believe. And unfortunately, if you look at some websites, they come under Christian denominations. They have nothing to do with Christianity. Then you take the Mormons. They gain points to go to heaven. They again avoid my door. They're very nice. They avoid me. Why? Because I always say, how many points do you gain today? They know what I'm talking about. Because you gain points to heaven. And I challenge their prophet. I say, was he from the line of Jacob? I'm going like, what do you mean? Joseph Smith? Looks very American to me. Was he from the line of Jacob? No, he can't be a prophet. So let's start from there. Then we go into another level. I say, how in the world did you translate things from Egyptian into English? An angel appeared to him? Yes. I say, the devil can appear in the form of an angel as well. Then you take the religion of Islam. You know, they say God has never had children. He can never die. They forget that Jesus, who died on the cross, it was his physical body that died. He bore our sins. Jehovah's Witnesses and Islam are the closest religions in the world. They both deny the deity of Jesus equally. When you deny the deity of Jesus, you've got nothing to stand on. This is happening today when people want to believe in a nice Jesus, baby Jesus, right? As long as we tell this baby Jesus to behave himself, then we're okay. Some we've turned Jesus into our cultural savior. He just loves us. He doesn't love anybody else. My friends, Jesus has been under attack from the time he was born. And he will continue to be under attack until the last trumpet sounds. What you and I, we need to do is still faithful to scriptures. Because it is the word of God. People say it has been changed. And I challenge them, show me where. Well, do you still believe in these things? Absolutely, I've not stopped. And the more I read it, the more convinced and convicted I've become that Jesus is the Lord of the universe. But I'm not the only one. There are millions upon millions of people who believe in the same thing. And they are ready to pay the price. In the 3rd century, there was a bishop by the name of Arius. He lived in Arabia. He was very well known, charismatic, and he had a lot of followers. And then he preached Jesus that was not a Jesus that was not in the Bible. He says, Jesus is a born creature. He cannot be God. And there were a lot of priests who followed him in Arabia until another bishop by the name of Athanasius came into the picture, and he went to Rome and he said to the emperor, "This man is preaching heretic and must be stopped." And of course, the emperor said, "Very well, put a council together and refute the teaching." And the council took place in Nicaea. And in 325, the Council of Nicaea took place, where we have today the Nicene Creed. And there is an important phrase there where Jesus is elevated above of all other creatures, where it says, Jesus is of the same substance as that of God. And the word in Greek that was used is homoousios. So you cannot separate God from Jesus. They are one. So when you say, "I believe in Jesus," you are saying, "I believe in God." This Jesus is the light of the world. He gives life. He gives light to those in darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. As dark as the world becomes, Jesus will shine. And his light will be seen by for miles and miles, because the darker it is, the brighter the light is. And we carry the light of Jesus. This little light of mine, I don't know if it's little. I'm going to let it shine so that people see it throughout the world. You know, I love the Gospel of John. I used to know these verses by heart. But as you grow older, you lose some cells up there. The marbles are there, but the cells are gone. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Through him, all things were made. You and I are made through Jesus. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. Jesus is the light of the world. People are going to reject him, and that's a natural thing to do. Because, you know, when we are born in sin, sin is going to reject God. Do not be dismayed or discouraged when people reject Jesus or reject you. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for people to believe. That's why the problem of Christianity today is that we have a lot of religious Christians. Christmas put an end to religion. Easter put an end to sacrifices. The Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate rebirth. He came. It's funny, he came to his own. Imagine going to your own and your own is rejecting you. How does it feel? Shunned. "We don't like you. You're not one of us." Jews rejected Jesus. Scripture says he came to his own, yet his own did not receive him. And what he did? Then the gospel went out, and to all those who received him, he made them children of God. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God, adopted by God. And Jesus becomes your adopted your brother. So when one day we sit or we stand in the presence of God Almighty, Jesus is our advocate. Because if he is on our side, who can be against us? So the judgment that we are going to receive, we're going to worshipfully attend the presence of God and say, "Lord, Jesus died for my sins. And he is the one who made me righteous. I don't deserve this. It is grace. It is mercy. It is God giving it to me. And I want to worship you." And you know what you're going to hear? "Very well. Go in, my faithful servant." What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to have Jesus on your side. Not the baby of Jesus in the manger, but the living, resurrected Christ. But it starts in the manger. And the story continues. And I believe the Bible is still being written in the hearts of men and women throughout the world. So do not worry about the world. Worry about what you are doing on a daily basis with God, because your life, as it changed, without uttering a word, you will be preaching the gospel to those who are around you. Oh, people say, we are not sending missionaries anymore. I say, yes, look at the state of the church. But I say, I look forward to receiving Chinese and African missionaries to America to reintroduce us to the gospel of Jesus. And this is not a myth. It is happening today. Why? Because we've become too comfortable in this nation. May God revive not the nation, but us, in order through us to see revival around us. And we want to do this for His glory. Amen. We're going to...